I will just name for myself, I'm sitting with a very tender, sad heart. We had a loss in my family. So sitting with that, and I share that only just to sort of name the sort of the vulnerability that we know we all live in. And I was sharing again when Carlita and I was speaking this morning, I was in support of Vinny's Ferrara's Year to Live class, which is amazing. I know some of you here have done that. We were talking about death and dying all the time, and there's still this surprise. Like, oh my gosh, it actually happens. And I, and how do we learn from it? How do we allow ourselves? And this is part of what Vinny, this course on Stephen Levine's book of like, and this is a quote from somewhere, I can't quite pull up where the quote is, like, how do we allow ourselves to live with a companion of death as encouragement to live? You know, there's a quote from Mary Oliver, may I learn to live with something like, upon my death, may I have always lived as the bridegroom to death. That's not quite right, but something like that. This notion of, if we can incorporate the reality of impermanence, all that we love and hold dear will pass. This is true. This is one of the laws of this human realm. So how do we allow that to ennoble us, keep us focused really on what matters? I want to read this. Sorry. Which book? From Annie Dillard, Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. There is always an enormous temptation in all of life to diddle around, making itsy bitsy friends and meals and journeys for itsy bitsy years on end. It's so self-conscious, so apparently moral, simply to step aside from the gaps where the creeks and the winds pour down, saying, I never merited this grace quite rightly. And then to sulk along the rest of your days on the edge of rage. It won't have it. The world is wilder than that in all directions, more dangerous and bitter, more extravagant and bright. We are making hay when we should be making whoopee. We are raising tomatoes when we should be raising Cain or Lazarus, right? And in these times now of like, oh my goodness, can you go out? Do you double mask? Can you be close to somebody? No, you can't. Someone's sick. We're going to get sick. It's just like the rules are constantly changing. I'm not sure how it is in Europe or in Canada, but here it feels like it's different county to county and everyone's tired, you know, tired of this constant jitteriness. And then speaking with a lot of folks over the last week or so, this shared sense of fatigue. We go out to do something that normally would be like, I went to the grocery store and I went for a walk with my friend, and you would still have some energy left over. But this way in which the being alive and human right now is really draining. And in that mix of the reality of whatever our reality is with what's happening on so many levels in the world, like how do we relate to it? And how do we allow ourselves, myself included, to kind of get caught up in the itsy bitsy pieces of it when all around us the world is burning, when all the world around us people are being born and people are dying? And can we allow ourselves, give ourselves permission to kind of step out of the itsy bitsiness of concerns and grudges and annoyances? The pettiness that I know I have, you know, the ways we can get caught, like, this isn't actually going how I want it to go. No kidding. I've shared the story before, but there was a day long with the nuns from Lokavihara. And one of the women in the group, this is back in the other time of our lives when we met in person, but someone had raised a hand and in such deep earnestness had asked, I'm doing all the right things. I am practicing. I am doing yoga. I am intentional. I am eating organic and kale and all this. And she's like, and had asked, like, and things just aren't working out. And there was such a heartfelt disappointment and questioning, like almost as if, what am I doing wrong? And one of the nuns was like, almost laughed to be like, well, nothing. Like, why do you think it should work out how you want it to? And it was such the Zen equivalent of the stick. Like, Oh, okay. Right. And Ajahn Sumedho, I think it's Ajahn Sumedho had said, that's not quite the right, it doesn't matter. One of our master monks had said, just because I have dedicated my life to practice doesn't mean I have any expectation that my life will either be easy or will work out how I want it to. And I remember thinking, like, I think I might. If I had been in robes for 40 years, I think I might be like, okay, this entitles me to some ease. And just the hubris of that thought of somehow we get a ride, get a free pass if we're good. And I put that in quotes. And this idea of these four recollections, five recollections of how we meet the world, of I am of this body is of the nature to grow old. I cannot escape growing old. This body is of the nature to get sick. I cannot escape getting sick. All that I love and hold dear will pass. I will lose them all. Forgetting to go. And the last one is that my only true belongings are my actions. And under the heading of actions, I would include thoughts. The way we move in the world, our intentionality about how we meet the day, how we meet ourselves. And part of, I think, petty is not quite the right word, but part of the way we can use energy in a way that's not so skillful is how hard we can be on ourselves and expecting ourselves to be different, expecting our lives to be different. And when do we get to turn to ourselves and be like, oh, sweetie, it's okay. It might not be how you want it to be. Okay. Can we love this life we have? Joseph Campbell says, at what point do we get to put down the life we think we ought to be living and actually live the life we have, even if we don't like certain components of it? And this funny twist that and I have it too, that we think it should work out the way we want it to. And we're sort of, at least in this, the dominant culture, white, perhaps dominant culture, an expectation that it will work out. And I think that's fading. This generation coming up is like, no, it's a different here. Different rules are emerging in terms of what's actually happening. I think that's it's a different conversation, but this way in which how can we release the expectation at all? We can have intentions, we can have desires. Okay. And then we hold them loosely. We'll see how it goes. May I learn to live as the river does, surprised by its own unfolding. Can we allow ourselves to live with the momentum that's there in our lives without trying to dam it up or change it? There's a story I'm sure I've shared before of a monk who was sitting on the banks of a river during a long retreat. A creek, let's make it a creek. Was sitting on the banks of a creek, and he didn't like the music of the noise of the water. How it was moving over the rocks. So he would spend his days moving the rocks around. So it was more melodious. At one point, it's like, what am I doing? This doesn't work. But you can see how we kind of get that way. The other images are rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. How do we let ourselves sink into, oh, it's this precious life? What do we want to do with this one precious life? To borrow from Mary Oliver, to continue with Mary Oliver, are you breathing just a little and calling it a life? How do we let ourselves live from a place that's rooted in our own vitality? By which I will quote D.H. Lawrence. This is from Tara Brach's book, True Refuge. This is a quote from later Tara's lover. It is a question, practically, of relationship. We must get back into relation, vivid and nourishing relation to the cosmos and the universe. For the truth is, we are perishing for lack of fulfillment of our greater needs. We are cut off from the great sources of our inward nourishment and renewal, sources which flow eternally in the universe. Vitally, the human race is dying. It is like a great uprooted tree with its roots in the air. We must plant ourselves again in the universe. I would say, yes, we could plant ourselves in the universe, but how many of us really need to plant ourselves here on this earth, in this soil that is beneath us? Because we can be so swept up by fears and anxiety, which is in the air we're breathing, and get so swept up finally the human race is dying like an uprooted tree. Can we plant ourselves not just in the universe, in the cosmos, to take refuge in this great beyond that is a more than we can quite comprehend, but also in this manifest body of ours on this earth with the grasses and the trees and the flowers and the animals. We are a part of this. And we forget this at our peril because of a sense of loneliness that can come up and a sense of dukkha, right? The dissatisfaction that something's wrong, something's missing, something's not right. This is one of the truths, right? We often move around that way in the world of like, I'm dissatisfied about something pretty often. And to be able to accept that, like, yeah, that's pretty true. Okay. So then how do we stop believing the stories we tell ourselves about how we're dissatisfied with ourselves, with our partners, with our kids, with our work, with the world? Which is not to say we release discernment and choice. It's just paying attention to, where are we moving from? And where do we find spaces? And I spoke of this last week in the supply side of attention, which I love this, that idea of being out in nature, the soft fascination that comes when we watch a creek or the ocean or sit in a forest. When we can increase the capacity for our attentional abilities, there's refuge there. Yeah. From Ajahn Sumedho's Sound of Silence. And I know I've shared this before, but I do love it. Awareness is your refuge. Awareness of the changingness of feelings, of attitudes, of moods, of material change and emotional change. Stay with that because it's a refuge that is indestructible. It's not something that changes. It's a refuge you can trust in. This refuge is not something you create. It's not a creation. It's not an ideal. It's very practical. It's very simple, but easily overlooked or not noticed. When you're mindful, you begin to notice it's like this. And this constant reminding that we need to kind of have in place of, oh, wait, come back here. It's just like this. Again, in different conversations with folks, it's like where the in response to the overwhelm of just sort of the challenges of life in January 2022, the ways in which we can go into different false refuges, you know, Netflix, binge watching, or being on screens too much, or in all the various ways that we can let ourselves escape what might be actually happening. And sometimes, okay, yes, to take a break is great. And then also be paying attention to where are our actual true refuges. And again, to reference that notion of the shoring up the supply side of our attention, awareness from the book, Extended Mind, which is very upfront and saying, be in nature. You know, go, if you are lost, from David Wagner's poem, like if lost, go out into the trees. The trees are not lost. If you are lost, they will find you. Allow yourself to be there. Put yourself in that place such that you can be found, that you can find yourself and reconnect to yourself. I think one of our tasks has always been, but it seems now perhaps more than ever, this might just be me speaking, of how do we hold on to ourselves when there's so much to be reactive to and happening and uncertainty and the ways we can get pulled up and out into whatever news we may or may not watch, which can be exhausting. And how do we hold on to what we know to be dear? Where do we plant ourselves? Again, from D.H. Lawrence, in the universe. And I love that invitation because it allows us to, it's sort of both the earth element and the air element, that allowing ourselves to touch into that which is universal, that is which is beyond our human realm, that there's more to life than we know, whatever our spiritual beliefs are. Can we take solace in that? That too can be a refuge. Oh, there's something larger than me at play in the world, in the universe. and being able to have our toolkit close to us, such that we can dip into to know actually what does allow me. Where can I go to take refuge? And as I said right in the beginning, like for me, this Thursday group is one of those refuges. I might be holding the space here, but I'm a participant as much as anyone in terms of what I get out of this class. This is a refuge for me. And being able to know, because we need them now, and I'm sure we've always needed them, just seems things are more acute. What is in our... in case of fire, break glass containers for refuges. So I might actually ask you to close your eyes. And to this point, to consider in what circumstances, be it externals, physical environment, or let's start there. Do you feel most like yourself? And maybe we'll do this in different way, in different sections. I sort of first, what's the physical environment that really allow where you feel like, oh, I am totally myself? For some of us, it might be on the beach, in the mountains, in the woods, on our porch. It might be a time where we were with our grandma or holding babies or somebody's baby. Just sort of noticing, if you kind of scan what comes up as you allow that question to repeat, when and under what circumstances do I feel most connected to myself? By which I mean really connecting into what we could call our Buddha nature. Really like the phrase, our best selves, but where we feel good. Where we can feel at ease in our own skin, in our own bodies. Where there's a sense of ease, contentment. And another kind of doorway into this question that I'm asking could be, if we feel in, allow ourselves to feel a sense of ease, contentment, what's that like? And really allowing the awareness to get precise. Oh, my shoulders are relaxed. Forehead's relaxed. Sense of energy. If you envision yourself in a place that's supportive and lovely, and the body can feel at ease, the heart can feel awakened, bright. What's that like? Can you plant yourself in this place, rooted in the ground, connected to the heavens, envisioning yourself standing and embodying the various heart qualities that are most meaningful to you? Integrity, generosity, joy, compassion, humor, equanimity, patience, on and on. Whatever most touches you is how you aspire to move in the world. Embody it now. Check it out. Oh, this is what this feels like. stake your claim, as it were, in your own goodness, in your own capacity to show up from this place. With the help of being able to take refuge. And having a sense of what that means. So I might stop here. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.